Blog Talk Radio.
Bring the beat in.
Michael Everett.
And I am the lady, Everett.
So what's going on, y'all?
The lady.
We're all, like, in different locations, right?
We are in different locations.
Wow.
So I'm in Baltimore.
I'm in a little known place right off of Baltimore.
A little island right off the coast of Baltimore called Delaware.
Called Delaware.
And of course, I'm in the greater Atlanta area where earlier today it was close to 80 degrees outside. Oh.
Wow.
Well, what is the greater?
Yeah. No.
Beg your pardon?
Nothing. I said, what is it, great? You said the greater Atlanta. I was asking what it was greater than.
I'm in the greater Atlanta area, yeah.
I heard that. I'm scared of you.
Okay.
So what's going on, y'all?
I'm sorry. So, I've had a pretty interesting week because you ain't been around this week. So it's interesting in the fact that, yeah, you've been on the go, and so
it's
I've been
like
in
San Diego.
Pretty much. Hello. I mean, it was like you came in Friday night, and you had to head out Sunday morning. So you know, glad I got to spend the day with you. And I know we did an engagement party, which was really, really nice.
Not ours.
So shout out to Joe and Derek.
Right.
But yeah, they had a really, really nice engagement party in Buckhead.
It was beautiful, but you know what the best part was for me is and Shivana, there's a spot in Atlanta. You know, it was inside of a mall, so you know, of course, it's always like, all right, well, what is this gonna give? Because it's inside of a mall. And then when we get inside, it's this really cute restaurant, and they run out a space. So the food was amazing.
Okay, that mac and cheese.
I like food.
Yeah, you better. It was like
the mac and cheese
macaroni
on point.
And cheese.
Oh my god! Oh,
and the green.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I can't think about that right now. But yeah, it was a good time, and so shout out to them, and we wish them the best, and look forward to the wedding.
And Lady Rhonda, how's your week been?
My week's been pretty good. I'm nothing too exciting. Pretty low key. I just watched The Walking Dead. So that was a pretty intense episode for our The Walking Dead fans. It was crazy. So I'm not going to tell you just in case. Oh, go ahead.
Because we caught a glimpse of it. What was it, like yesterday, Anshe? And there was this moment that I felt like a need to continue watching, but I promised myself I would start at the beginning. So for those of you who don't know, I've been telling Shivana, she's been trying to get me to watch the show for about a year now. And I keep telling her I will, but I never have because I tried once. Anshe and I did, and we just didn't. I guess we caught it in the wrong time, but it was compelling. So I feel like there's something there. You know, if you get through some of the bad acting, I think you'll arrive at a good storyline.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't
know.
I'll say that this show, I mean, has broken records with ratings. I think, I'll say it was the acting that made, I didn't even know what the show was. I told you guys before when I first watched, I was sitting on the couch bored one day and flipped the channels and caught in the middle of an episode. And this guy came out and he was just, every emotion he was trying to give me, I was feeling. And I said, what is this show? Okay. And that's what made me, I spent the entire weekend catching up to that point because
right.
that one episode that I caught in the middle of it with this guy's, the lead character, who is, his name is Rick Grimes, but he's the guy, if you've ever seen Love Actually. Have you guys
heard
about
that?
He was the one who did the cards outside the girl's door.
I'm glad you said that because when I decided to be engaged, what caught me was the boy from Everybody Hates Chris.
Yes.
His coming on the show, so that kind of sparked my interest in it. But what it reminded me of is I turned to another show the other night, and I can't remember if it was, like, at home or at a hotel. But it was, like, one of those, you know those shows where, like, there's, like, some kind of monster, but it's, like, something that's not realistic? And then they have a cast of, like, different people who would never, ever be around each other, but now they're in it because – so it kind of reminded me of that. So I think initially my fear was that it was going to be, like, sort of a campy cult following kind of thing. But I think based on what people –
when you see how they forge these relationships and how the characters start and how they grow, these people are not the same people who were in that first season. It's just – it's well-written. I mean, it's amazing. Like, the – it's kind of like that would happen to me if I was, if this really happened, that's who I would be, like, that the natural, the, what happens to humans in survival mode. It's, you know, but we, you know, it's one of those good shows. And it, there are so many, I only grab a few of them and stick with those. And then later I'll Netflix others. So, cause you can't, you don't have time.
You haven't managed to hop a car yet.
No, I haven't.
Can we even buy the DVD, or does it have to be on Netflix? Do you have Netflix, Rhonda?
I don't have Netflix. I have demand, though.
Oh, no, because we have Netflix, so you can just use, I don't know if I can say this on radio, but you can just use our code.
We'll talk about that off the air. what's been new?
Well, I walk into my room. I'm in a hotel right now, and all I smell is marijuana.
Well, I mean, it's a hotel. It sounds about right.
It's like the Radisson in the middle of nowhere.
So back to that question. You know, we got to get to the question about, you know, intentionally dating. About being intentional about your dating. So I guess the question is for tonight is, are you intentional about your dating, but also do you find yourself pairing out of loneliness or partnering out of strategy?
Mm.
And we wrote a nice article was written by the lovely Lady Rhonda. And Lady Rhonda, you want to go into the article?
Well, the article titled, Are You Pairing or Partnering? Is that the title of it? Or was two is a crowd? Okay.
Yeah.
The basis, I guess the second title kind of speaks for itself. Like it's about, a lot of times we are in relationships, and sometimes it's just companionship. You know, there's really no collaboration. There's no, working together, which in my mind is a true, partnership. You know, it's about strategically tackling life, basically, navigating the terrain of the world together, as opposed to you go do your thing, I go do my thing, we wind up, you know, at the end of the day in the same house, you know,
right,
which I see happen a lot. Because in my mind, what's the point of those relationships except for the company?
And I know we're going to get into the article later, but it just made me think that when you said about, I think I might yell in this room, when you said that companionship, and I even think that there's a space, you know, because when you think about sort of older folks, and I remember this growing up, that, you know, oftentimes there would be like their kids who would be like, you need a companion. So I get that even a companion feels, you know, feels some role,
mm-hmm.
and there's some
mm-hmm.
exchange that's
mm-hmm.
happening there. But I think what we're seeing today that's different is that people get into relationships and they don't even know why, because when you don't unpack your issues, you know, like you don't know what's driving you or what's motivating you to do certain stuff. But I think that there's something even more dangerous than sort of it just being companionship or like a lack of partnership. It's just like, you know, the I guess the very definition of settling. I don't know what you guys think.
Or the fear. I mean, the fear of not having someone around, like that fear that people sometimes have, I guess the loneliness, the fear.
I mean, do you think it even, because I feel like that even when you say the fear, that comes from a place of knowing and understanding what maybe love is and or what it should look like or what it could look like and then
mm-hmm.
operating that way. But I feel like you also have people who maybe haven't gotten to a place where, like, maybe they're young, right? They're really young folks, and the fear hasn't necessarily taken over, but it's just it could be like being naive, right? Like somebody likes you, and maybe that's the only qualifier for why you would want to be with them, or maybe they like something about you. Or they said one nice thing, and so now you're trying to lock it down, but y'all don't have anything in common. So there's so many things. Like relationships are not just, you know, we have these parts that make sense together, or like it's so much more complex than that. But you don't ever get it until like you're smack dab in your 30s. You know, what that could look like. And you're lucky. Say it again.
No, I'll keep going.
No, it's, it's just that. It's that I feel like that there's something that, you know what, here's the big aha moment for me, is that we teach our kids how to brush their teeth, right? We teach them how to, like, learn, you know, like math and reading and science, but I don't think that we do the best job at teaching them how to coexist and be in a relationship and how to create boundaries. And, I mean, that's partly why we have this show, right, and partly why we write those articles and we do this work.
Right.
But I think that it's like an epidemic, because it's something that can happen in the home. There are plenty of teachable moments when just watching TV. I think you've experienced it with Caitlin. Like, you find those moments to be like, here's an example, you know, of what this looks like if you make this decision. But, like, who taught you how to be in a relationship?
Well, I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of trial and error. Go ahead, Anshay.
It feels like just the relationship values have just changed. And that when you look at it, you know, married folks are now the minority. And so when you begin to see that, I think that you just see people beginning to respond to relationships in a more selfish manner. And then I just feel like even in watching, like, a lot of the reality TV shows, those that are, like, hit shows, you know, even in looking at those particular shows, when you see those in relationships, it still comes from a selfish manner. So it never feels like there's an actual partnership that's happening, but there's more pairing that happening. The pairing is coming from, I just got to make sure I'm good no matter who I'm involving myself with.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because it also makes me think, like, by the time that you realize that there should be partnership and then you start to subscribe to a model that provides that, or that demonstrates that, I think we get really, I guess, caught up in, like, that it's hard. You know, like, that fine, maybe you're not just paired, but you're partnered. But when you get there, it's hard because you have to give up you have to give up so much. And so much that I don't even think you even realize it until you're in it. And honestly, I remember you going through a thing where you realized how much of the relationship you were sacrificing to do this other thing. And sometimes we don't always know what the other thing is, which is why sometimes I think it's hard to hold on to relationships. But, like, but I just think it's interesting how it's, even when you get it and you're on this course, that it's still going to be the most difficult thing you've ever been through.
It's effort. It's work. And that's, you know, when an article talks, it's an investment, though. You have to think about how does this benefit the whole? What are we working towards? What do we want? You know, because you can get nowhere working separately. You know, it's really, even if you're just benefiting yourself, how much benefit. Like, what we know for sure is how difficult it is to operate alone. That's what we know for sure. So when you meet someone and you start a relationship, it's almost like a relief. Like, there's this idea that I don't have to work this alone, you know, that we, you know, so that's double the effort, but then it's getting on that same page, you know. So it's like, finally I have somebody I can build with, but what if we want to build two different things? Or what if we build differently and having to figure out how we can build together and have this shared vision and work in a cohesive way? That's the difficult thing, because we're both two humans, two different backgrounds. Like, you see things differently. You want to use the hammer, and I want to use
the
saw.
You know what? Shravana, you hit the – oh, I'm not saying that because you just said this, but you hit the nail on the head, which is that it's a clash of cultures. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, when you go into work for the first time, you know, part of your anxiety is that you know that everybody's going to be – at least you project that, you know, that everybody's going to be different from you. And it's the same thing about, you know, joining a church or, you know, starting a new friendship or going to a school. So it's the same thing. And sometimes, you know, like when we first get with somebody, we are so in love, right, operating from the chemical of love, that everything's, yes, I'll go to the restaurant you want to go to, and I'll go on the vacation you want to go on. But when that year is over, when that year is done, it becomes a very different conversation.
That's when your true self show up.
I was just telling people to call in because I didn't want us to hug up all the time, but 646-915-9198 if you want to share with your opinion. But go ahead, Asha.
Yeah, and I was going to say, just to add, I think, you know, that's where the work comes in, because once that year wears off, as we talked about, because that year usually is just full of lust. And so once that wears off, you know, that's when the real work comes. And I think being able to work through, you know, just your own individual needs and being able to find a way to bring that with the needs of your partner, that becomes the true test of relationship, because that's where you begin to see what support looks like. And do you really have a supportive partner, you know, in this particular relationship? So
yeah.
I just want to mention that we had about 439 likes on Facebook, you know, when we posted,
wow,
when this was posted on Urban Socialite. So this is nice. You know, people made
it
mention.
It has 86 shares. Can you believe that?
That
I
is amazing.
I think shares excite me more.
Well,
yeah.
For me, the shares, the tags are the same things as the shares. I like when people say, Jen, this is for you. You need to check out this article.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, someone
well,
said
it shows
speechless.
That people, it resonates with people. We're all struggling with these, you know, these human conditions that show up so much in our relationships. It's very, like, when we write this stuff, we don't make this stuff up. This stuff is born from us. we live it.
Every day.
So some of the comments that were made were speechless, very powerful. Someone else said, this is very insightful. The issues I've had with relationships in the past, I'm always forced into the dominant role, even when I had roommates years ago. Why is this? The only time I wasn't in charge was the man who took my virginity the second time. Sigh. And of course, my reply said the second time. And of course, I want to know about that too, the second time as well. But I'm glad that, you know, people commented, it was shared, folks liked it. We're really, really, really happy that people are enjoying what it is that we put out there. So thank you all for taking the time out to read.
And
you
if
know,
you
our,
were the
our,
one who
our,
wrote about that second time, please call in. I'd love to hear that story as well. I'm trying to get a second time, too.
The second time around. But anyway.
All right. That's not like it's time for two.
So times. What we're going to do, I think it's the perfect time for our first theme of the truth song. And, of course, this is with Jay-Z and Beyonce, Bonnie and Clyde, 2003. Here we go. And we'll be right back with Truth Talk featuring Intimacy and Color.
You ready, B?
Ready.
Let's go again. Look for me, young B, cruising down the west side highway, doing what we like to do, highway. Eyes behind days, what's next is the reason all of my days been blind days, but today I got my Ferris girl with me. I'm mashing the gas, she's grabbing the wheel, it's trippy how hard she rides with me. The new Bobby and Whitney, only time we don't speak is on Sex in the City. She gets carry fever, but soon as the show's over, she's right back to being my soldier. Cause mommy's a rider, and I'm a roller. Put us together, how they gon' stop both us? Wherever she lacks, I'm right over her shoulder. When I'm off track, mommy is keeping me focused. So let's lock this down like it's supposed to be. The O3, Bonnie and Clyde, Hov and B. Holla, all I need in this life is spin. It's me and my girlfriend.
right. With Jay-Z and Beyonce with Bonnie and Clyde, 2003. I want to say 2013 so bad, I don't know why. But we're back with True Talk featuring Intimacy and Color. You have me, Ante Hall Everett. I have my other folks who are
Michael Everett.
Woo-woo-woo. And the lady.
Now, and if you want to join in with us, as we ask the question, are you parent or partnering in your relationship? And really around intentional, being intentional about your dating, feel free to call us at 646-915-9198. And can I also please give a shout-out to the University of Kentucky for becoming the number one overall seed in the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Okay.
Okay.
I had to just put that out there because I get pretty hyped around this time because I love basketball, college basketball, and when it comes to the tournaments, I go crazy. So Mike got my stuff, my UK stuff, and is going to ship it to me so I can get it hopefully by Thursday so I can decorate my office come game time. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But anyway, y'all don't sound too thrilled about it, but it's fine.
No, it's a different experience for me, but every year, you know, I become increasingly interested as there becomes, you know, increasing pressure for me to be interested.
Okay. Okay.
That's partnering.
It's working.
So before we get back into our own article that pretty much is the topic of our conversation tonight, I wanted to go over two articles that was shared throughout social media, primarily on Facebook. And, Mike, you posted these two articles. The first one was a study, and it was saying that young men suck at sex, bottoming doesn't hurt, and in 1 in 2 guys, they're bad.
I love this article, Sharonda. If you haven't read it, you should check it out.
I do read it.
But let me be – oh, great, perfect. So then let me –
so tell us about the article, Mike.
This is not an article. This is not an article about folks of color. So I just want to, you know, put that out there. But and that wasn't what attracted me. And those are the kind of articles I read, so I'm just being transparent. It was an article primarily with white gay men in the study, and it was really looking to evaluate other things about sort of their sexual activities and what they liked that went out, you know, to really determine if penetration was sort of the only form of sex that most men engaged in. But what they found out was that there were other things, that they engaged in. But that wasn't what I felt was most interesting. It was literally like, you know how we always talk about how science needs to learn how to speak to people? I feel like this article did exactly that. And it just laid it out, and I think in a way that people could pick it up and use it. And I really wish it could be a model for how, when we talk about black gay men, when we talk about black women or whoever,
mm-hmm.
For talking, reaching communities, that we could do that. So that's what I liked most about the article.
The statistical data that was presented, I mean, you know, when we look at some of the things that, you know, I know as gay men that we talk about as it pertains to the type of sex we're having or the type of sex we prefer to have, you know, it really just broke this down and let me know that those people, for instance, like who may be on, let's say, Jack or A4A or whatever, and really been really explicit around what they prefer sexually, that they really are a minority. And so I thought, you know, a lot of things I thought just really interesting. So, for instance, you know, younger men, 18 to 24, bottom most often, while those 30 to 39 top most often. You know, so, and then we also saw that barebacking was more common than we like to admit. So it's just those particular things that I saw, and I feel like some of these things that we see as taboo or we at times come with some myths, you know, I don't know, we just find ourselves, you know, this article just kind of, dispel a lot of that. So, yeah, that's why I appreciate it.
So what I also thought was interesting is the article said exactly what we've already known, and that's that intimacy is really the greater value for people. Like, it's their buy-in for sex. And I think that that it's important that we talk about teaching people how to be in relationships. I think it's also important that we prepare our kids for sex in a way that has nothing to do with actual, you know, sort of the sex language, but about that intimacy. And I just think it's important to highlight that. I think we do a lot, you know, gay men have this bad rap of, you know, being super, what is it, call it, like hyper, super sexualized.
Hypersexual.
And I think that, Yeah, and whatever that might look like or however that might present, the reality is that these men are men who probably come from histories of not being able to be out, not being able to, you know, have their love be on Front Street and not being able to have support around how to find love and how to sustain it. And I think that sometimes that will then look like everybody's sleeping around as a whore, and it's not, you know, nothing is ever that black and white.
So do you think that's probably why younger guys don't enjoy sex? Because the article also said young guys don't enjoy sex. And it made mention that older men enjoy sex much more than younger men. Now, do you think that's probably why?
Weren't they talking about penetration specifically?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's different than sex. But I think that that when I was a young guy, I didn't have certain skills. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. And so I think, you know, like, remember, real talk, let's have a real conversation. Remember when you thought blowjobs were nasty?
Mm-hmm.
When I was, like, 12.
And then one day. Right. Well, I'm just saying. And then one day. I can't even follow up with that one. But then one day, at 13, you realize. No, you realize that that it's not. I just think it's about growing up and learning. You know, like, you have these concrete black and white ideas about who you are and what you like. And as you grow up, that changes. You know, as you become an adult, that grows. Like, we were talking when I saw Sharonda this evening, we were talking to her, my niece Kaylin, and it was about she didn't like coconut and she didn't like, what was the other thing?
Sushi.
And Rhonda said, that'll change for you. And I remembered I didn't like sushi when I was younger because I didn't have the palate for it. But then as my taste expanded, you know, I was able to tolerate and love it. And so I just think that sex is the same thing, that, you know, you don't want to be pounded on your behind. You know what I mean? Like, when you're really young, I think it's a lot of pressure to not, like, paint or not, you know, make certain kinds of things that might feel like mistakes for folks. I just think it's different. Rhonda, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. And I don't, you know, I'm straight. So, but in my mind, sex, you know, that something like this, when you talk about the age groups, I think that across the board, you'd probably find that young people in any race or whatever their sexuality is probably struggle with sex early on. And are not, if you ask a 15-year-old, you know, about their sex life, compare that to a 30-year-old, you're going to get two different experiences. And I think it really is just about more so knowing yourself. You don't know anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't even masturbate correctly early on. So, I mean, I think part of it is just that growth and being, well,
okay.
A lot of women did not. You know, that's
right,
something you get that people, you know, that you learn later how to do properly. And probably because in differently than how boys are, we're not expected to. So, you know, we don't, you know, it's kind of taboo.
And you're also taught to have shame around your vagina and shame around,
right.
You know, like the ideas of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, when I think about dating younger men and older men, you know, I can say that there is a difference. You know more later. You know, and it comes from a different place. And let me just say one thing too. When you're with a new partner, like you get into a new relationship, I don't know if this is you all's experience ever, but I find that in the beginning, sometimes you get into a relationship and sex is great from the beginning, but I find that when a person, the more someone gets to know you, the more intimacy you build, the more comfortability you have and trust, the sex just continues to get better. So I think it's the same, like, as you learn yourself, you know, your sex life just gets better as you get older.
Right.
And I think this would be a good transition to the next article to bring up, and this is by Charles Stevens, a friend of ours. It's called Building Bridges Between Black Fathers and Their Gay Sons. So as I heard Sharonda, Lady Rhonda, as you begin to speak about, you know, intimacy building and really knowing yourself, I'm wondering how much of that can come from the dialogue between, you know, black fathers and their gay sons. That if they were having more of a dialogue, that they can also begin to help facilitate that intimacy building so you'd be more knowing of who you are. But I wanted your thoughts on this particular article.
Rhonda?
I didn't read that article, but just from what you're saying now, I mean, if you think about that saying that has proven to be true, you know, throughout history, is that you can't really know where you're going until you know where you came from, basically. Mm-hmm. I think that connection with your parents, you know, especially the father, if you're a son, if you're a gay son, particularly because then I think that when the father's absent, that creates a lot more shame. You're like, well, was it me? You know, what's going on? But there are still things. I think people have this in their minds that if a young man is gay, that the father being absent, or it's not as critical. It's not it's not as important. But people have these sexist ideas of gay, I think, too. So it's like, no, this young man still needs to be taught what it is to be a man, you know, and, right. and what that mm-hmm. meant, what that means. Regardless, he still needs to be taught those things because he is a man, and his mom can't raise no man, you know.
And I love that you said that. I feel like, I hear that a lot, particularly from strong women who I think get the significance of the role of a male in the child's life. And I also think that that it's important that men across the board, gay or straight, learn to have positive, healthy relationships with other men. And I think that mm-hmm. when men aren't in the household, it becomes hard to do that. So, you know, as I grew up, I realized that my whatever I was missing from male culture for me had a lot to do with there not being men in the home to teach that to me. And it had nothing to do with that I was so gay that I couldn't like football, or I was, you know what I mean, or I was so gay that I couldn't right. enjoy sports. So I just think that it's an invaluable thing to have as a man, to have a relationship with a man that's non-sexual and that's sort of based in you know, positive affirmation, male culture, that kind of stuff. What to do with your aggression, you know, like those kinds of things. So when you say, you know, I always hear like teach a man how to be a man, I always like to hear really specifically what that could look like for folks, because I don't think people get it. You know, it's not just about having a penis, but it's about an experience mm-hmm. on the planet.
Yeah.
But I also think that it may teach you how to just be more intimate with another man. You know, not even if you're thinking it from an intimate relationship, not, you know, with your significant other, but just being intimate with, like, your male friends or what have you. Like, I just think back to my relationship with my dad, and I just realized that I still get uncomfortable around any other man, gay or what have you, that I'm still uncomfortable. I feel myself more comfortable around women, and that's because I have a great relationship, you know, with my mom, my stepmom, my sister. And so because my relationship with my dad was there, but the intimate piece wasn't there with us, and so I noticed that mm-hmm. that played a part in my relationship with other guys. And so I can't have, I don't know how to be open to other guys because I've never had that openness with my own dad.
And that's interesting too. And how do you think of that manifested, like, to this day with your relationship with me and with other men?
Well, I think that I don't know how to be supportive. And so when I look at this question about pairing a partner and reading the article, you know, yeah, so in my relationship, is it a partnership? Yeah. Can I build on that? Yeah. And how can I? I can just find ways to be more supportive. For me, because of the fact that I've gravitated more so towards women, you know, I've picked up on certain things that women do. So, you know, if I see, for instance, Mike, if I see that you are down and out, the first thing I want to do is just hug, kiss you, you know, those type of things, just to find a way to be more nurturing. But when it comes to, you know, I guess you saying, hey, but I want you to do this, I instantly become intimidated. And I think that's because I fall right into that more traditional role that a woman can't do this. So I begin to take on that role like I can't do this now, and that it's not in my lane. And so, yeah, I find myself battling that quite often. So if I had to look at my relationship now, how can I better be a better partner? it would just be more of a being a better supporter, like finding ways that allows me to be more comfortable in supporting you.
That's beautiful. I was thinking, I think the reality is that I exist sort of in both worlds, you know, for different reasons and at different times. And so I am paired usually when it's a situation I'm not familiar with or I don't understand or it's new to me. But I think the things that I've had some opportunity to gain some mastery over, I've learned how to become a better partner in those things. But I think the thing that a partner, and Asha and I have been having this conversation slash argument for, you know, a while now. But, you know, and we talked about it on the shows, that this construct about listening and versus hearing. That I think that a partner is prepared to hear what you have to say, even if they don't agree, and is responsible for removing, you know, all those things that we usually do that keep us from hearing most effectively. And I think there was a quote that I'm going to look up that I think I posted on Intimacy and Color Facebook page from Nikki Giovanni.
Okay.
Did y'all see it?
No. What is it?
You
say you got to find it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I'm going to find it right now.
You remember it for you. Yeah.
No, you tried it. okay, no. So it was, I think I can recall most of it from memory, but it just said that essentially that partnering is, and I don't think they use the word partnering, but that it's the response. Like, you have a responsibility to listen. You know, like when you're engaged in any relationship with anybody, I'm not just talking about, you know, intimate or romantic, but that listening is your responsibility. And that if you see it as your responsibility, then you'll start to approach conversations differently, as opposed to, do you hear me? It's, can I hear you? So I'll find it, but I thought it really kind of just shaped, you know, shaped the way that I see things.
Wow.
That's interesting. Well, I don't know if we have, I don't know, are we moving to the song next?
We're going to move to the song. I didn't know. Yeah, so we're moving to the song, and we want to finish up the rest of this conversation and have a few questions to ask you all. So our next song is a song I'm thinking you all will enjoy. It's a throwback. So for some of us who are listening that may be, I guess, 30 and younger, this may be your parents' jam, but we hope y'all like it. It's a jam of Mike and ours. Here we go.
And for love's sake, each mistake, all you forgave, and soon both of us learn to trust, not run away.
There was no time to play.
We build it up
and build it up.
Before we went to the break, so I waited to after because I'm going to make it fast. So last night, you know, Kaylin, you guys know she's like super lovey and super affectionate, right? You know, so mm-hmm. I might get an I love you like 5-6 times, maybe, you know, several hugs.
Sometimes
I'm like,
she gets that from me.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, Kaylin, like the hug an hour ago was good. I still understand that hug. This one doesn't, you know, an extra one doesn't mean more. Like, it's, you know, I'm good. Which is the kind of thing I used to do to Mike. I'd be like, hey, you know, I don't really need that hug and kiss on the cheek. I'm good. I know you love me. I don't know. I guess, you know, family affection is, I'm just not, I've never been as comfortable with the physical affection. So, you know, we wind up doing the love languages test. You know, I was like, people tend to show love the way they understand love. And I said, so you're super touchy. So if I'm not super touchy, you think that's not love, but I just show my love differently. And so we did the test, and of course mine is acts of service. I'm like, hey, if you wash some dishes, that means you love me. Like, that's how, that's
right.
Love to me. So, you know, I'm always helping you with stuff. I'll go in there and help you with your room. Like, I do that because that's how I know love, is to help
right.
you. And you know it to hug me. So, you know, it's just having that understanding and or having her have that realization that, We our love language is different, and so sometimes we can alter it. You know, maybe I'll give her more
right.
hugs, and maybe she'll give more acts of service, so that we can have that understanding.
Yeah, I feel like it's another, like you said, I think it's another exchange. You know, that you figure it out, but I can't help but think like that's a lot of pressure for a kid. you know, who particularly doesn't learn, you know, various kinds of love art in other environments like school,
uh-huh.
you know, like, you know, or in television, it's always sort of the same stuff. So I think it's an interesting lesson, but I think that it'll definitely make her a better partner in any friendship or relationship with somebody. Because I think that part of the reason why we have an issue with partnering as opposed to pairing, because pairing is easier, and that because really we're just selfish.
Yeah.
Mm.
By nature.
Yeah.
So what I want to do now is just do a three questions. I think they're like three questions. And each one of us got to answer these questions. Some of them is pertaining to it's pertaining to the article that was published in on Urban Socialite, but also the articles that we just shared. So with Charles Stevens' article, but also the article on sexuality amongst gay men. So the first question I'm going to ask you all is, were you ever in a parent relationship, and what was that like for you? And what was the relationship like? What was the final relationship straw? Like draw?
Oh,
straw. Yeah. The straw.
Want me to go first?
Yeah.
But I got this one in the bag. So
let me hear.
That weird time in my life where you know, like, it was my last girlfriend, and everybody wanted me so badly to have to be with a woman. The friends around me at that time. For me, that's probably the most extreme case of just pairing, because we were literally just two bodies, and there was, like, nothing in common, no chemistry, no attraction. And I remember, she was the one who took my virginity. So I say stole it.
Oh.
But I think there's, like, some
his
trauma.
His first virginity, not his second one, okay?
Yeah, that's my second
one. The second time around? Oh, okay.
But so that would be a time where I definitely think that I was pairing. And I also think that I learned how to pair in most of my relationships. It's only been recently that I'm discovering the benefits of partnership, because it's so much harder. It's easy to pair.
Mm. Okay.
But I think it's really
so
hard to partner. And I don't think I've seen that in other people.
I think to echo what Mike said, and just that later in life I'm learning more about the partnering, and I'm really.
Wait, you with her too?
She took my virginity. I'm learning. Partnering became more important to me later. I would say a lot of my relationships have been about weird in a way that a lot of times it's about servicing me, I guess. So I've been in very selfish relationships, in relationships where I'm pretty aggressive, so it's in I can be somewhat demanding. But I've also been in relationships where I would say when I was with my daughter's father, that was more, of course, of a pairing. We were not working towards anything, and mostly just because I didn't want to be in the relationship. So when you don't want to be in a relationship, of course you're not investing. You're kind of just waiting it out almost.
Right.
Later in life, I'm seeing, working more towards partnering, which has been really difficult in my new relationship, because it's like you're learning each other. You're still trying to enjoy the newness and the joy of the relationship, but then those responsibilities are there. And, you're like, hey, I'm a grown woman. I have a kid. I have this life. It can't just be giggles. There's work, there's responsibilities in the relationship, not just you go to work and I go to work, but there's the relationship is work, and I expect us to work towards that. So it's hard because sometimes it doesn't seem like fun, or it seems like it takes away from the natural fun of a relationship. But, we had that at 15, so we can't, we know that fades anyway. So, again, like Mike, I'm trying to partner. I'm working really hard towards partnering now.
And mine would have been just the time when I was in a parent relationship. It was back in my 20s. So, just yesterday. With the guy and he was someone I dated right after, soon I got out of a long-term relationship. And we were already friends, and it was just really a parent relationship. I mean, there was nothing being really shared or anything like that. I don't even think there was even much expectation in the relationship. So it was just pretty much two people who were saying they were dating, But we didn't spend that much time together. So it was just an odd relationship. But one last question. I want this to be brief, and I want us all to share this one. How do you feel that sex play a part in a partner relationship? Do you think it has any influence at all?
Oh, yeah.
Sharonda, you want to go first?
Oh, well, if you're really good, you might not have to partner as much. I might put in a little more work. No. we'll call that your part. But I think that I don't even know how to really answer this question, but I think that sex influences a lot because sometimes you have to partner in the sex. You know, there has to be compromise. There has to be communication even in that. And, you know, a lot of times we're afraid to speak about our needs sexually. So sometimes even the partnering gets lost in the act of the fun stuff. So.
And just to piggyback on each one, I think that's where the additional work has to, you know, that's where there's more work in the relationship. That it's really about the partnership, it's about the work, and you're going to see the workshop in all aspects of the relationship. So just be prepared to do a lot of that work.
So,
and Mike, anything you would like to add?
Yeah, I think that if, you know, so you said something earlier that I think ties everything together, Ashe, and that was about lust. That's how you spend the first year is in lust. And I think that once you get to a place where you're starting to actually partner, then everything becomes about working to get that lust factor back, but in a different way, to understand love is much differently. And like Rhonda said, I think it's about partnering even during sex and so learning what the other person wants. But I think that we've been taught to be so quiet about it or to think that people should just somehow know what we want that that I think that sometimes makes us stuck. So I just think that sex and partnership is probably the most important issue that comes up because it's not talked about from a partnership perspective. It's usually just discussed from, like, you know, a dysfunctional kind of perspective. It's really just a partnership issue.
I love it.
You know, a conflict.
And then you have it, from your co-host, from your host, Ashe, Michael, and Lady Rhonda.
And Michael.
Lady Rhonda. We want to thank y'all for tonight's show. We hope you all enjoyed it as we talked about pairing and partnering and really exploring that question, are you pairing or are you partnering? Are you intentional about your dating? And so we ask that you join us next Sunday at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we go into another conversation on one of our hot topics that hopefully will be published, that we will publish, excuse me, on Urban Socialite. So we thank y'all for tuning in to tonight's show. I'm Ashe Hall Everett.
I'm Michael Everett.
And I'm Lady Rhonda.
And we thank y'all for tuning in tonight where we're just not alive, but we are living. And we are
living.